This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We bear witness and testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى We send our love and greetings to our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To his family, his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. We make dua for the people of Palestine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for them in this time of difficulty. May Allah grant them strength. May Allah grant strength to the ummah. May Allah bring all of us out of this difficult time to izzah. May Allah destroy the enemies of this deen and the tyrants of this world. And may Allah grant maghfirah and jannatul firdaus for those who have passed away. Ameen. Every generation has its tests. And whatever comes before us is part of Allah's plan. Winning and losing is not really the important part. Being on top, dominating, or losing in the battlefield in the dunya, that's not really the point. The point is how you meet these challenges. Even the anbiya. Some anbiya, alhamdulillah, Allah had given them success. Allah had given them nations. Other anbiya, from a dunya perspective, they failed. There are some anbiya who, as Nabi says, they will come on the day of Qiyamah with not a single follower. Even Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had victories, he had Badr, but he also had defeats like Uhud. And these are, as Allah says, these are the days we alternate between you, so that we can test you. Now growing up, and I think many of you would know, would remember, growing up, the last time we saw a genocide, if you Google genocide, the last genocide was in 1995, the Bosnian genocide. And we can remember watching TV, maybe not fully knowing what's going on, but we know there's Muslims, we might not even have heard of the country Bosnia, but it's a country in Europe, and these are Muslims, and they are being ethnically cleansed, what is happening here. And it was, of course, in the town of Srebrenica, where the Serbs entered the city, and they raped the women, and then shipped them on buses and sent them out, and then rounded up every man, every boy, and killed them indiscriminately, every single one of them. This was the last documented genocide. What is a genocide? It is, killing is bad. And when you kill people and you destroy cities and you fight into war, that's bad. But when you go out with the explicit intention to eradicate a people because of their ethnicity, or their color, or their religious beliefs, the objective is to exterminate them. There's something a lot worse. If you go and you invade a country for its oil, that's bad, but that's still, you know, human. That's still greed. When you invade a country for political change, okay, understandable. But when you go in simply out of hatred to kill another group because you hate them, because you see them as subhuman, this is the worst type of crime against humanity. And as I said, when this happened, most of us here might have been quite young. We just saw it on TV, didn't really know much about it. And that was a genocide that had to be dealt with at that time. And we failed, the ummah failed miserably. It happened, no one stopped it, no one prevented it. We saw it coming. If you read up on how bad it was, in the heart of Europe, subhanAllah, you know. And the Muslim world did nothing. It was really interventions from the UN, from NATO, from non-Muslim countries that stepped in and said, look, we can't allow this purely because it was on European soil. Before that, a year before that, more than 1 million people were killed in Rwanda. Okay, that's Africa. You know, that sort of comes with the territory. This, what we're seeing in Gaza, is not a political war. It's not even a religious thing. It is one group who has a supremacist, racist, fascist view that they are the only people that may exist in that land, and that the thing that they genuinely want, what would make them happy, is if all these Palestinians, all the people of Gaza, just disappeared overnight. If they packed up and they went to Egypt, that's what they want. And if they could wipe them out completely without the world causing a noise, that's what they want. The only thing holding them back is that they see the noise that is going on in the world. They know that they will have to have some answers. They've been given the green light, go and do what you want, but don't embarrass us. Whatever you're going to do, how you kill those babies, just don't let it become headline news so we have to be embarrassed. And this is, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees these things to test us how we respond. So this is a test for our time. And may Allah protect us. These are one of those specific questions where Allah is going to ask you and me, and Allah knows best, what did you do? And the answer is very time, what can I do? Are we contented with that answer on the day of Qiyamah? When we said, in front of your eyes, thousands and thousands of people were killed, babies, children are killed. What did you do? Will we feel safe on the day of Qiyamah to say, Ya Allah, I did what I could do. Khalas. So Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ We will test you. حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ We're going to test you. We're going to put you into difficulty. We're going to send war against you until He knows who are the mujahideen. Mujahideen, we'll talk about jihad, meaning who of those of you are really struggling. You are really doing your best. Minkum wasabirin. And we will know who of you have patience. وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ We will test your affairs. This will be a test. This is an examination. Not only for the people of Palestine. In fact, least of all for the people of Palestine. They are going through it and they are persevering. But for us as the ummah, 2 billion people, 50 Muslim countries, this is a test. What is our answer on the day of Qiyamah? Allah says to us, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ Did you think? أَنْتَدَخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ That you will enter Jannah. وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا And we did not test you to see who of you are serious about struggling for this deen. Who of you are really committed? Did you think you're just going to get an easy pass without me giving you a tough exam? وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ And I may know who of you have patience? You cannot simply say, Ya Allah, I did my best. I mean, I read up on it, I heard about it, I went for Jumu'ah about it. I felt bad. Is that enough of an answer? Allah says, do you think you'll enter Jannah with that flimsy excuse? And I speak to myself first. Am I doing enough? Am I comfortable? Allah asks us, وَمَا لَكُمْ What is wrong with you? لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ You do not wage war, you do not fight, you do not struggle in سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ And again, when I talk about jihad, yeah, I'm not only, just the most important type of jihad is with your life, the best jihad. You go out with your life and your money, you don't come back. That's the best jihad. May Allah grant all us to be shuhada. May Allah grant us to be worthy of shuhada. But there are many, many types of jihad. And we'll talk about those different types of jihad. And everyone can be a mujahid in his own right. But Allah says, مَا لَكُمْ What is wrong with you? That none of you want to stand up. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضَعَفِينَ And that the people who are oppressed. مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ Men, women and children. They are screaming, they are crying. يَكُولُونَ رَبَّنَا They say, Oh Allah, أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِي الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا Save us from this oppressive people. There are people, Allah says, what is wrong with you, O Ummah? You see in front of your eyes, people are crying and screaming, save us, help us. But you do nothing. وَجَعَلَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّ And these people are crying, Oh Allah, send somebody, anybody, to be our protector, to help us. وَجَعَلَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ نَصِيرًا And grant us any type of protection. Ya Allah. That's all they're doing. So Allah says, the ayah begins a rhetorical question, مَا لَكُمْ What is wrong with you? These ayat are not for the people of Gaza. It's not for them. This is for us. They are in it. We are the ones outside, sitting and watching as spectators. Now Allah says to you and me, if we do nothing and we don't act, Allah says, "Kul in kana abaukum wa abnaukum wa ikhwanukum wa azwajukum." Allah says, if your fathers and your children and your brothers and your wives and your relatives wa ashiratukum wa amwalu iktaraftumuha and your money, your accumulation of money, wa tijarat. And your businesses that you and your jobs you're so scared of losing. If these things and your houses which are so comfortable in it, if your family and your business and your money which you love so much, and your comfortable houses and your homes and your TV and your rugby and all those things, أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله is more important, more of a priority. You love those things more than Allah. And his Rasul, وَجِهَادْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ And to fight and struggle. You prioritize all those things above Allah and his Rasul and jihad. فَتَرَبَّصُوا Then wait, just wait and see. It's a threat, Allah saying, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهِ بِأَمْرِهِ Until Allah's command comes upon you. Allah says, then wait and see. When I am not a priority in your life, then it's very dangerous. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ And Allah says, I do not guide a disobeying people. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe. مَنْ يَرْتَدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ Whoever of you turns against his deen, and this is in the context of jihad. When Allah, in Surah Ma'idah, Allah is calling people to fight jihad, and some said no. So obviously, whoever of you turn away. فَسَوْفَ Allah says, يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِكَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ Allah says, don't worry. There will always be wars. There will always be struggles. There will always be tyrants and oppressors. Tyrants, oppressors, and victims. Each generation is put in this test to look at what you do. Allah says, if that generation comes and they do nothing, Allah says, no problem. Another generation will come and He will eventually send a group who loves Allah and He loves them. They love Allah and Allah loves them. And we make dua, we are this generation. We make dua that all the genocides and wars that we saw over the last 100, 200 years, that other generations, they struggled. But this will be the generation that Allah says, I will send a people who are worthy of my love, and they will love me and I will love them. So Allah says, I will send a people who we will love and who will love Allah. They will be gentle, ruhama, they will be gentle, adhillatin al mu'mineen, that they are gentle between them as the believers, aizatin al kafireen, and they will be stern and they will be courageous against the enemies. They strive in the cause of Allah, wala yakhafuna lawmat la'im. They do whatever they need to do for the sake of Allah and they don't have fear. They do what is right. They're on the right side of things. Whether it is saying a word, whether it's having an awkward conversation, whether it is cutting a contract, whether it's putting up a social media post, whether it's donating money, or when it's even physically going out, all these types. They do it without fear of what if and what's going to happen. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ And Allah says, and if you have this kind of courage, where Allah is the only priority, this is a great blessing. That you are free of this dunya. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ And Allah is wide. Allah is enough for you. What more do you want than Allah? So these ayat are serious. And when we read these ayat in the normal course of, you know, when life is ordinary, they're just ayat. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to all of us to make a decision. I've seen that in my personal capacity, in my professional capacity, where you need to make a choice about things. It's easier to keep quiet, not say anything, because, you know, there might be repercussions. If you put a post out, you make a statement, you cancel a contract, you boycott something, it might cause you some inconvenience. So we rather, what can I do? These must governments, there are armies, there are ulama, someone else can do it. Why must I do anything? That is, remember, these ayat are not just for the ulama. They're not just for the king of Saudi Arabia. They're not just for the soldiers. This is for every Muslim, whether you're young and old. Allah's asking, what are you going to do? What did you do in your capacity? And what is your answer? So what can we do? What can we do? The Nabi says, whoever amongst you, and this is a hadith which you all have memorized already, whoever of you sees a wrong and injustice happening, then it is your duty, it is your responsibility to first change it with your hand, to be involved, get involved, and you be the solution. Changing by your hand does not mean I point to you and say, look, that person must fix it. Or I criticize that one. No, this is my problem, I need to fix it. That's the first, that's the highest, that's the best. If you can't do that, at least then speak out against the injustice. Speak about it. Talk about it. Speak words of truth. And if you say, I'm too weak to do anything, I can't give money, I can't do physically anything, I don't even have the courage or the guts or the ability to say anything, then at least, hate this. Feel bad in your heart. Feel sad in your heart. Be concerned and make dua. Wake up at tahajjud and cry. And that is the lowest level of iman. If you lose the concern, if subhanAllah, one of the things about this Palestinian issue, the good and the bad of it, is that number one, alhamdulillah, it's kind of revived the ummah again. We were so sleeping, so dead. And Palestine, and it's sad that Palestinian children's deaths must wake us up and wake the ummah up. But what is sad is if you're still not awake, then that heart is in a dangerous situation. If at least you don't feel sad and disappointed, and you don't feel good when, alhamdulillah, there's some victory or someone makes a statement, you don't feel some energy in your heart, then it's a problem. Then even the concern for the ummah is gone. The concern for the deen is gone. Then really, 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 we worry about the death of the heart. So feeling bad is a sign of a heart that is still alive. If you feel bad, if you feel angry, if you feel frustrated, if you think, Ya Allah, what's going on? Alhamdulillah, that is a sign of iman. And then of course it must translate into action. So now, The first thing is feel concerned, be concerned, make dua. But what you can do, and everybody can and should do this, you and I, we have to be informed on the issue. There are so many brothers will call me and they will say, you know what, there's someone at work that we have a conversation and I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what is the Nakhba. I don't even know what is a Jew and a Zionist. I don't know what happened. I heard something happened in the Balfour Declaration in 1948 and the Six-Day War and the difference between Gaza and Hamas and the PLO and West Bank. I don't even know any of. I've heard these terms, but I don't know what it means. If you don't know what those things mean, if the words I've said you can't explain it, you're not doing enough. The resources are out there. There is so much information. And alhamdulillah, 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 the haqq is on our side. The truth is on our side. If we just learned the facts and knew the facts, you don't have to be eloquent or smart or anything. You just can present the information very clearly. It's very clear who the aggressor is and the tyrant is and who's the oppressed. The fact that there is still a narrative of 50-50 means that the bulk of humanity hasn't woken up and actually read the information. If every single person in the world read the information, understood the reality, understood the facts, whether Muslim or not, this crisis would be solved. Because it's so blatantly clear. So that is your duty, every single Muslim. Everyone can do that. Everybody can learn. There's so much material on the website. There are so many Israeli, some of the greatest speakers that you know mention what's happening are Israeli historians. Many of them, Ilan Papi, Noam Chomsky, so many of them. They will tell you from historical accounts, these are Jews explaining from their perspective. And of course, besides the countless account bayans and lectures from the ulama that you can learn. So you should know about these things. You should know about how did Zionism start. We spoke about it last week. Where did it start? How did this group of people get to Palestine? How did the land get split up 50-50 and then Israel took 80%? Why is Gaza under blockade? Why did Hamas go out? Who is Hamas? When did they start? All these questions you need to be able to answer. So if anybody asks you, in fact, you should have the courage to have the conversation. You should have the courage to have the conversation with your colleagues. Because everyone's talking about Palestine, Muslim or not, everyone's talking about Palestine. We should be the first one to call people about this catastrophe so that the like-minded people can support us. So you need to learn. The next thing is, now level two, alhamdulillah, I feel bad, I've made dua, I'm educated, I've equipped myself. That's just you can control those things. What's the next things? As the next level, the Nabi said, to speak. In a beautiful hadith, he says, a man asked the Nabi Sallam, what is the best form of jihad? What is the greatest form of jihad? The hardest form of jihad? And he said, to speak the word of truth against a tyrant or a ruler. To speak truth to power. This is one of the highest forms of jihad. To speak truth even though that Facebook page might get banned. To speak truth even though you fear I might get fired. My company might cause a problem. Alhamdulillah, in South Africa, we are very, very fortunate. Of the very few countries in the world where the government is openly pro-Palestine, the ruling party is openly pro-Palestine. And therefore, there is no fear on you, so long as you're not calling for violence, to say very clearly, and subhanAllah, we've seen the ulama even said very clearly, we are pro-Hamas, and what's happening? Other parts of the world, you might get arrested. In Western parts like France, Germany, even having a march is being banned. England, they're debating if you have a Palestinian flag, not a Hamas flag, a Palestinian flag, this is going to be anti-Semitic because that is so controlled in those areas. We have the luxury, the freedom that you can speak without any incrimination in South Africa. So why are we not speaking out? Why are we not making the most noise? Why are we not the ones controlling the narrative when it's favorable to us? We should ask, and here I'm making things a bit, asking all of you. I worked in a corporate company. We should ask our companies, politely. I'm not making a big social media circus, but why are we importing from Israel? Should we not source locally? Should we ask the question? Even if they say, no, alhamdulillah, rev qiyam, if we say, ya Allah, I asked the question. I had the guts to write an email to the sourcing manager or to the CEO and said, I feel morally we should not be buying from a country that has broken international law. Don't say it's a Jewish Zionist. They're breaking international law. How do they occupying? That's UN resolutions. The same way many of us have not sourced from Russia anymore, we should do the same. At the most, they can say, no, we don't agree with that. Khalas, at least that will be, that email will be your thing on the day of Qiyamah. Allah, I asked. Do that. Ask your companies. And then, of course, speak out to your communities. Now, this is this list. I don't know this list that came on there. I'm not saying you must boycott that list. I didn't put that picture up. So, inshallah, we need to be also clear on what products are Israeli and not Israeli. But alhamdulillah, and you know, as you might know, I'm part of the MJC. The halal certification bodies have come out with a policy, even though this was an unspoken policy, but now they've actually drawn a line in the sand that they will not... I think we should also remove that list, inshallah, that we will draw a line in the sand that if you are an Israeli, if your products come from Israel, we will not certify it. Halal. We're not saying the dates are haram, if you eat it. No, no. We will not put our stamp on it. If it comes from Israel, we're not going to do any work for it. And if the company is owned by an Israeli, it is an Israeli company, or they own a company, so Israel, for example, buys a tikka shop here, we'll say, no, thank you. We will not certify your food. And if every Muslim certifier pulls its certification, and if every Muslim only eats what is certified, then automatically the Muslim community will not be buying it, right? If you see this packet of dates, so this tomato, it doesn't have Sana, Iksa, MJC, no one is certified, okay, khalas, I can't eat it. So that's what we should do. And alhamdulillah, at least the first one, the MJC, I'm very proud, we're the first to do it, and inshallah, the rest will follow. And so it will be clearer. What can you engage? Because the way the world works, you can't boycott everything, and not everything is Israel. And we should come beyond this ignorance where there is a group of people who control the entire world and they own everything. This kind of misinformation is not good either. So where a product is genuinely Israeli, or the company is Israeli, we should boycott it. We should not buy it, we should not certify it, and we should ask our companies. And so all of you are in companies, you should look at the contracts. Do we do business with an Israeli company? Are we sourcing from them? You know better than I know because you're in your company. And then you should raise it in your meetings. Why are we choosing this company? Surely there's a local company or some other company in the world. Let's cut that contract. And of course, the power of social media. The reason why, one of the reasons why Israel has not yet sent its troops in. Why? They've been saying for 3 weeks, we're going to go. Why? They did not expect the kind of backlash that they're getting from you, from me. This has become so embarrassing for them that their minister of war had to meet with Elon Musk, with Mark Zuckerberg, to tell them to take down Palestinian content. Because they were surprised at how the algorithm, and subhanAllah, many of you have watched the videos, how well the Palestinians have done in putting the narrative over, and how the people have responded. There is a shift. In the West, amongst the younger generations, you just look at Harvard, for example, the students in Harvard have been protesting in favor of Palestine. Harvard, the center of American, you know, intellectual excellence, has made it clear, the students. So they are seeing the impact. You can't keep the world, you can't lie to the world forever. Even the UN, the Secretary General of the UN, yesterday or 2 days ago said, we should understand. It's a small word, but just the fact that he said something which no one else said, what happened with Hamas, we should understand, it didn't happen in a vacuum. There was a reason why it happened. Now he's being banned by Israel, subhanAllah. He's being called to resign just by saying the truth. So your posting and your sharing of messages, and your sharing of videos, it is causing a difference. It is a jihad. It's a fight that you're doing. And it's saving lives. Wallah, it's saving lives. So don't stop. Keep posting. Don't get distracted by the cricket or the rugby or whatever. Keep putting this on the agenda. Keep putting this on the agenda. And so show your solidarity, marches and those things. Many say, what is the benefit of marching, being in touch with the Palestinians? It gives them a sense of happiness to see 100,000 people in the streets of London were marching. We hope that, inshallah, there's a planned march in Cape Town the 1st of November. I hope, inshallah, we will be the biggest in the world. I hope that South Africa will be the biggest in the world in terms of showing our solidarity. Write letters of support to politicians who take the right stance, and alhamdulillah, there are many, many political parties in South Africa who are very clear on it. You don't have to vote for them. You don't have to vote for the EFF or the ANC or whatever, but support them to be louder. Make more noise in parliament. And for those who are supporting Israel, we send them letters to show your dissatisfaction. I tell you, no one likes, all of you know, you don't like one negative comment on your Facebook post. No one likes that. Imagine a politician is getting thousands of letters of people, you know, putting pressure on him. It's just a letter, but it will make that person shift. It will make that person think. Do it. That is something you can do. And there's no risk to do it, so do it. The next thing beyond speaking is now actually putting your money where your mouth is about sending finances. When Allah speaks about jihad, he says, "Bi amwalikum wa anfusikum," with your money and then with your body. Money is easier than your body, but money now requires some sacrifice on your part. The Nabi says, well, Sahabi asked the Nabi, which charity is the best charity to Allah? And he said, the Nabi, the service of a worshipper in the cause of Allah, to spend fi sabilillah in the times of jihad. The best rand you can spend now when the ummah is at war. Yes, alhamdulillah, we need to care for the orphans and we need to care about the masjid. But at times of war, when the enemy is at the gate, what does the ummah need most? We need that money to go to fi sabilillah, and for those people, a tent of shade or a mount to help the people on the front lines. Now, many, subhanAllah, put another controversial thing. It's the end of the year, bonus time for those of you who are fortunate. Holiday time, we've saved. How many of us are going to take that and send a portion of it to Palestine? Where is our true concern and love? This is something that if we are asked, and I ask myself, I'm not asking you, I'm asking myself, how many of us will say, look, my 5 days of holiday versus saving someone's life, what's more important? That's the kind of moral dilemmas, every single one. Allah, as I began, Allah's putting us in this test. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to earn Jannah? It's also an opportunity to earn Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنًا وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Whoever wants the Akhirah, and you exert yourself, you do whatever you can do, your sacrifice, Allah will appreciate it. He said your sacrifice will be appreciated, not your results. The email you sent, even though it was deleted, went to spam, that email, Allah says, I love that email, even though no one read it. The 1 rand you sent, it didn't go anywhere, it bounced, whatever, became bank charges. Allah loves that 1 rand that you did, fi sabilillah. That post that you put up, that not a single person in the world saw, Allah says, your struggle is what I love. And you will get the reward based on your sacrifice, on your struggle. We don't look at the results. The results belongs to Allah. And then with regards to the results, Allah says to us, why are you so worried about the results of ummah? Why are you even worried about it? Allah says, a true believer says, لَن يُسِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing will get to me except what Allah wrote for us. هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. He is our protector. He decides. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And if you truly believe, then put your trust in Allah. Allah then says, do you wait for... There's only two outcomes for you, O Muslims. You only have two husnayain, two good outcomes. One outcome is you beat the enemy. We beat the Israelis. Takbir, Allahu Akbar, great. Then there's a better outcome, we lose. And we go to Jannah. Shaheed. Win-win. And Allah says, as for them, they wait for either being punished in the dunya or in the akhirah. They either lose in the dunya or they get punished in the akhirah. So Allah is asking you, O believers, why are you even so worried about the outcome? You just do your thing. You put up your Facebook post. You send that email. You donate that 5 rand. Leave the rest to Allah. Either way, you're going to win. So Allah says, فَتَرَبَّصُوا إِنَّمَا كُمْ مُتَرَبِّسُونَ. So we say, you guys wait and we wait. And we leave the matter to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to be on the right side of this. May Allah grant us to do our part and pass this test and make easy for the ummah. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Just a quick announcement. We thank everybody for the who supported our meet and treat last week. The singles event, alhamdulillah, 80 people joined. And we hope, inshallah, some barakah comes from it. May the many of them find a nikah, inshallah. Ameen. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.